The Michael Kay Show.
Every big player in baseball, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuna Jr., Mike Trout, every one of them should say, we're not talking to the media. Then we'll see if Major League Baseball actually steps up and goes, well, it's part of people's contract. You have to talk to me. Then why isn't it being enforced with Ohtani? Why do I have to spend my time talking to the media if he doesn't? And you know how I feel. Everybody should talk to the media because, in essence, that's how you talk to the fans. The fact that one guy gets away with it, every other big star in baseball should draw a line in the sand. If he's not talking, we're not talking. And then Major League Baseball will not be getting any publicity for their stars. They'll finally wake up and they'll force Ohtani to talk.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. So we just did the final Would You Wednesday of all time. And
well, come on.
No, it's over.
Why would you say that?
Then why did you ask it if the answer is so obvious?
No, because I know that you guys are not being honest with it, so it's no fun.
No, because I think it's very revealing on the other side. You can't understand. Listen, if I'm destitute, if I'm living on the street, you do whatever you can for your family. But I'm making a good living, Michael. I don't need money that I have to do that to myself. And I know for myself that that was the wrong thing to do. And Nancy's best friend is somebody that we spend holidays with. They live down the street from us. I couldn't live with that guilt. Why is that so difficult to understand?
Because
you may disagree
time,
with it.
You guys just say the politically correct thing. You're not real. Because I know you both too. Maybe this on this one you really legit. Most of the time you're tiptoeing around it. You don't want your wives to know what you really think. So you just say the politically correct thing. It's no fun. We're not doing anymore. I'm done.
Taking your ball and going home, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking my ball and going home.
It's really sad and embarrassing.
Because, listen, every question I ask, well, that's not good enough. What a stupid question. What a dumb question. Well, we're done. I'm done. I'm not good enough at it. We're over. So if you love Would You Wednesday and now you're sad that it's gone, blame those two.
Well,
don't blame us.
You're the one that's pulling the plug.
I'm pulling the plug because it's not fun anymore.
Well, no, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what the audience thinks.
No, I'm the one doing it.
We don't do this for you.
But I'm not getting the feedback that I need to make it good.
Well, we just disagreed with you on this one. Yeah, we just saw it differently.
I'm good. I'm being totally serious. I'm good. That's it. Oh, you just heard the last Would You Wednesday.
Oh,
no, all right, so, Don, let's talk about
it's your fault.
Okay, blame me. Whatever.
Because I'm gutless. And I have no guts. That's what gutless is.
It's over. You'll never hear another Would You Wednesday again. Done. Rangers and Islanders. Islanders with a big win, but there's a controversy in there as well. LaViolette felt that a hit was improper. He's the only guy, who feels that it was improper.
Pelech is in the neutral zone. Zibanejad is gesturing. He's not looking, and he runs into the shoulder of Pelech and goes down. And those are the worst types of hits, Michael, when you don't brace for them. You're not prepared to get hit.
So LaViolette is blaming Pelech.
Yeah, he believes that it was intentional. It was a vicious shoulder that he threw, or elbow, is what he said.
So on the MSG Network, the home of the Rangers,
yes,
Henrik Lundqvist, Ranger legend, said it's not. He didn't blame Pelech at all.
Dave Maloney, who I thought we were going to lose at the end of the game, screaming at Kelly Sutherland for not calling the cross check that Dobson threw at the end of the game on Trocheck, said it was an accident. So Rick Carpinello, who's covered the Rangers up until recently, since 1979, tweeted, it looked like an accident to me. I can't find anybody that agrees with it except for, a bunch of Ranger fans who want to jump on the Islanders, and I get it, you hate the Islanders. Now, Peter LaViolette was a defenseman, and maybe he tried doing something like that. Maybe he knows a way to be able to stand still and if inflict a vicious hit on the head of Mika Zibanejad. I don't know. I saw it, and it looked like just an accident. Now, do I think the Dobson penalty should have been called? Absolutely. But, I just saw an accident, Michael, so I completely disagree with Peter LaViolette. I don't know what his ulterior motive is. I don't think it's a good idea to incite something for Saturday when there's so much on the line for both of these teams.
Sounds like another Rempe moment.
But don't get caught up in that garbage. I mean, it's you've got bigger fish to fry here. You got three games to try to get right for the playoffs. Try to win the conference and give yourself the best seeding in the first round, not worrying about trying to get revenge on something that, honestly, Michael, to me, I'm being completely truthful, looked like an accident to me. Anthony said the same thing. Joe Mick, Dave Maloney, Henrik Lundqvist, everybody that's completely invested in the Rangers, It looked like an accident to me. Now, you know, Peter wasn't completely over the top, but he called it vicious. So, they had off today. So, I don't know if he saw a chance to look at it again and would retract it. Maybe he's just talking about it in real time. I don't know why. He told us to look at it. I looked at it, and I saw an accident. Did you see it?
Yeah. I don't understand what he's yelling about.
He wasn't looking. Neither of them were looking at each other, and they slammed into each other. Now, did Pelech sense it and figure, I'm going to stand here and have him run into me? If that's the case, then he's obviously playing, three-dimensional checkers or chess or whatever that I can't even understand. But I didn't see anything vicious, but Peter saw something differently, so he's either making it up to try to stir something in his team, or he's looking at it at a completely different level than I am. And listen, he should. He's one of the best coaches. He's won over 800 games. He's won a Stanley Cup. Don't look at me. I'm just a guy observing it from afar. But, Dave Maloney and Joe Micheletti and Henrik Lundqvist and, people that have played this game and were defensemen in this game thought it was an accident, so I'm not sure where Peter's coming from.
All right, so let's take away the thing that, is the elephant in the room. The Rangers lose, but the Hurricanes beat the Bruins, which is what you said the Ranger fans should be rooting for.
Right.
The Islanders get a victory, so where do we stand now in the Rangers trying to clinch and the Islanders trying to nail down that playoff spot?
Well, the reason why you wanted Carolina to win, even though they gained ground on the Rangers, was because you want to keep Boston at bay. Boston lost 4-1 at home to Carolina. So the Rangers have a 3-point lead on Boston for winning the conference, is what you want. You want to be able to get that 8 seed and avoid having to play Tampa in the first round. And the Rangers have 3 games left. Boston has 3 games left. And Carolina's got 3 games left. And the Rangers have the 3-point lead. And the Rangers right now have the tiebreaker. So they're in pretty good shape. If they win 2 of the next 3, doesn't matter what happens. They're going to lock it all up. And it'll be over. And they've got a game against a struggling Philadelphia team tomorrow at the Garden. Then, of course, Rangers and Islanders at the Garden. And the Rangers finish up against Ottawa, who's already done. So Rangers are, despite a laxed first period, a much better second and third period. Credit the Islanders. They found a way to win the game and hold on, although there's some issues there because their penalty kill is the worst in the league, and they almost blew a 3-0 lead. Fact is, they got the win. Rangers are in really good shape. Just got to get better starts, Michael. They give up the first goal constantly, and their worst period by far is their first period, where they've got a +1 goal differential, and they're in the 20s in the other two. So there's a few things they need to clean up, Michael, but I thought they showed some heart coming back into the game. Good on the Islanders getting a win. Islanders are in third place in the Metropolitan Division with 87, so they've got a 2-point lead on Washington, who won last night. They've got a 3-point lead on Pittsburgh. All those teams have 78 games played. The only thing, the Islanders don't have the tiebreaker against anybody, so they're going to have to win outright. But they control their own destiny. They got a game against Montreal coming up tomorrow. So I think the Islanders are in really good shape to hold on to that 3 seed. They've won 5 in a row, so good on them. And we'll see if they can hold on.
Is there a goaltender controversy with the Islanders?
Not to me.
Start their main guy.
Well, Varlamov's been better. He's started 5 of the last 7. He was terrific last night, Michael. He made some amazing saves in that first period when the Rangers were trying to come back, including some big saves early in the third when it was a 3-2 game. So I know that they gave the contract extension to Sorokin. I know he's supposed to be their number one. But, Michael, you're trying to get in. And I would trust Patrick Waugh, a Hall of Fame goaltender, to be able to determine who his goaltender should be moving forward. So you don't worry about contracts. You don't worry about feelings. Who gives us the best chance? And right now, I think I'm riding Varlamov until otherwise directed. Maybe you start Sorokin against Montreal just because that's a team that's already out of it. But I'm going to start Varlamov on Saturday against the Rangers based on how he played last night. And if he steals the job away, then more power to him. What are you going to do, Michael? I mean, you're not worried about contracts and feelings at this point. You're just trying to get into the playoffs.
Hey, remember when Joe Girardi pinch hit for Alex Rodriguez?
Oh, yeah.
The playoffs are on the line. You play the best players. Guys that are doing the best.
And Varlamov is not nobody, Michael. He's been to the playoffs with the Washington Capitals. He's more experienced, so it wouldn't be that crazy a thought. But, hey, the Islanders have been up and down. Win 6 in a row, lose 6 in a row. They've won 5 in a row. Most of those wins have come with Semyon Varlamov as the goaltender. To me, that's an easy answer.
Let's go to the phones. Ryan in Arizona. Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it.
I had a would you, but I guess we'll scrap that since it's a hot topic now. But I wanted to call you guys out. I hate to do it, but, you know, you guys just spoiled the heck out of the Curb series finale. And, you know, that show's been around since before 9/11, right? Like, it's, and that show just ended.
Ryan, it ended
three days,
Sunday.
Not even 3 days ago.
It's Wednesday. Yeah, how long were we supposed to wait to talk about
to do,
it? Because
man,
if we waited longer to talk about it, it wouldn't be relevant.
Yeah, there's got to be
something. You
guys
live under a rock.
But Ryan,
like, hey,
Ryan, this is on you. This is on you. You've had 2 days to watch it.
It is true. It's true. It's not,
and
we didn't even tell you
how the show ended. We did not tell you how the show ended.
I heard you guys talking about surprise people, and I had to mute it for like 5 minutes. So I'm not sure how much you spoiled it. But,
no, we didn't. We never gave away the
ending. We never told you the ending. You have no idea how it was spoiled.
We revealed some things, Ryan, but give me a break. It happened on Sunday. It's already Wednesday. Michael's right. When are we supposed to talk about it after it's out of the cycle?
Yeah, we'll wait 3 months, and then we'll start talking about it. It'll be a non sequitur. And they'll go, why are they talking about Curb 3 months after it happened? Stop it.
Michael,
it's on you. I didn't even talk about it Monday when I wanted to, yesterday when I wanted to. We waited till Wednesday. If we spoiled it for you, that's on you. It's not on us.
I don't know if this is right or wrong, Michael, but I'd feel uncomfortable if today was Monday.
All right? And that's why we didn't do it.
Because I'd like, all right, maybe because I didn't see it. You know, because but at some point, if it's that important to you, Michael, that you had to see it, then at some point you'd be like, all right, now it's on me. So Monday, I'm not willing to go there. But we already went through Monday, Tuesday. It's now, you know, it was after 3 o'clock on Wednesday. If you haven't seen it by now, I'm sorry. It's kind of on you.
And also, you know why we didn't do it Tuesday either? Because, you know what? If you're working and then you wanted to see the NCAA men's final, okay. Yeah. Then you didn't have time. What were you doing yesterday that you couldn't watch an hour of it? It's on you, man.
But yeah, when I say it's on you, all right, I get it. You're busy. But at some point you have to say to yourself, listen, I can't get mad at somebody for revealing it. We're far enough away from the actual finale. It's on me. I should see it. I made a point of trying to see it before yesterday's show, Michael, because I knew at some point we're going to need to talk about it. Now, if I didn't see it, then, you know, listen, talk about it, man. It's on me, man. I got to figure out the time to be able to carve it out. If it's that important to you that we're actually spoiling the finale. And it's
not
like who shot JR.
Anymore.
It's
I'm
not that
built
big
for this. I'm just not built for it anymore. I'm not. It's sickening. You're always going to piss somebody off. We waited 3 days to talk about it, and this guy's saying I spoiled. We didn't tell you how it ended. Now I'm going to tell you how it ended. Ooh. He was in jail. That's how it ended. Now I really spoiled it.
And he's complaining, and all we did was revealed a couple of cameos. He said he shut it off before we revealed anything real. Oh, I'm sorry. I let you know that Allison Janney's in it. And Craig Kilborn's in it. Sorry.
Not Kilborn.
Kinnear.
Kinnear. Now you ruined it for me. Did I miss Kilborn?
No. No, you didn't. Don't be
Lou
in a bad
Brooklyn.
Mood, please. I need you till. Well, I got you till 6:30, right?
Yes.
Hang in
hey,
there.
Lou.
Hello?
Lou. Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, hi. I've been waiting to get on the show for a while. I have a question about Juan Soto.
Okay.
So, he's on a sick pace right now. Do you think they'll pay him more than Judge? Because I know Judge Captain, Judge what, has 42.6. Do you think they'll give him more than Judge?
Of course, if they're going to keep him, of course they have to. Judge makes an average of $40 million a year. He's $360 for 9 years. Let me tell you this, Lou. If they offered Soto $360 for 9 years, he would laugh. He's going to get $50 million a year.
Because he's so much younger.
And this is no knock on Judge. It's 3 years later. It's just the way it's going to be. He's 25 years old. If they hold firm that nobody's going to make more than Judge, then they're not going to get any more big players until Judge's contract's over.
Let me ask you, Michael, if they're the same age, who would you give the most money to?
I might give it to Judge because he's a better defender.
Mm.
Although Juan Soto plays more. I think I'd give it to Judge.
But at least it's a debate.
It is a debate because he'll hit more home runs. He'll probably hit for a higher average. And he's a better defender. Judge is a... People, I think they've lost sight of it. Judge is a great player. And the only mark against him is he's getting older, as we all are. Yeah.
But Soto might not even have hit his prime yet. He's going to get this money when he's 25.
I mean, what would you offer Soto then? 35 a year? He would... Scott Boras would laugh.
No shot.
When you got a guy across town 12 miles away that's willing to give him whatever he wants. You know, another would you that I had, it's more of a baseball one. And it can only be asked to a Met fan. So I'm going to ask you, Don. If you're a Met fan, a real true Met fan, so take the radio host out of it.
Right.
A true Met fan who loves his team. You could only have one. Would you sign Alonso or Soto? You can only have one.
No, it would be Soto.
But there are a lot of Met fans that love Alonso.
Because you get caught up in, he's a homegrown guy, and we get into the... I get so many Met fans. Without question, the biggest rant I ever had was the Ed Crane pull. Because it hit home with Met fans, because there's an air of truth to it. Because there are no all-time Mets. They all get traded, or they went and acquired them, or they got hurt, you know, before they were able to finish their careers, like David Wright. So there's that pull of, we haven't had a guy that they drafted and they curated and they bring up and he becomes a star and he spends 15, 20 years here and retires the Met. They never had that. So there's that pull. I get it. But there would be a better baseball team built around Juan Soto than Pete Alonso. Because even though Soto's not a great defender, neither is Alonso. They play different positions. They do different things. You know, Alonso's going to hit a lot more home runs than Soto. But is he going to get on base as much as Soto? Is he going to have the impact to the entire order the way Soto does? Is he as young as Soto? These are all the things they'd have to take into consideration. It'd be tough. I want to keep them both. And the feeling is that with this ownership... They should have the money to be able to keep both. But if you ask me who is the better player and what gives you a better chance to win, I think it's Soto, don't you?
I think he's a better player. They're both not great defenders. But Soto's going to get on base at like a 420 clip. His OPS is going to be higher than Pete. Again, the only thing that this is a choice the Mets are going to make, because I don't think they could sign both. They could, but they won't. And what's more important, a corner outfielder or a first baseman? I think you got to go with Soto, despite your love for Alonso. Also, Alonso's older.
Now, this is what Stearns is saying. He doesn't care that he was drafted by the Mets. He doesn't care about forever Met. He doesn't want to pay somebody a dime more than he thinks they're worth. And he is going to ask for way more money, Michael, than Stearns is willing to pay him. So it's not a case of the Mets can't afford it. Sure, they can afford it. But Stearns is loath to give extra money to a player for all the ancillary things that he doesn't care about. He cares about giving a player the money he believes he's worth. And clearly, by the way things are going, Michael, he doesn't believe he's worth the money that Pete's going to be asking for.
And this guy is running the show.
But I also can't blame him. Because I do think Alonso's going to be asking for more money than a lot of other general managers are willing to pay. There's a very good possibility, Michael, this can go into next season where he's going to sit around like Blake Snell and not be signed. Because I don't know if there's any general managers out there that are going to pay him the money that he's going to want. If he's going to want $50 million a year, Michael, nobody's going to give him that.
Who?
Alonso. Nobody's going to ask him. I don't know how much he's going to ask
for. He probably wants 30. I don't think he's going to get that.
See,
Freddie Freeman doesn't.
But I don't think
30.
He's going to be asking for 30, Michael. I think he's going to be asking for more than that.
Well, there's no chance.
But that's what I'm saying is that he's going to ask for top dollar.
Well, he should. He's a great player. But, I mean, I think that the analytic people that run front office, they have a value on first baseman. The best first baseman out there makes the most money is Freddie Freeman. And he's still a great player. And you probably would choose Freeman over Alonso for what he can do. Great defender, hitting over 300, clutch, the whole deal, champion. And, I mean, maybe the Mets would, like, swallow hard and give him 30. Mm. But if he's looking for 40, I mean, did you see the market this year?
Yeah. That's why
they're not getting 40.
And the sad...
Maybe some team will give him 30. Maybe the Cubs will give him 30. Maybe the Mets would push it and give him 30. But 40, it's in his dreams.
This is going to go, because there's a lot of similarities between him and Barkley. And that's probably the way it's going to go, the same way.
It's a great comp. All right, we'll come back in just a moment. You're listening to the Michael K. Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
It's playoff time, Michael, in the NBA and the NHL, all right? We are here, and baseball's in full swing. So FanDuel's your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed, $150 win or lose, all right? Bet on everything, slap shots, home runs, slam dunks, whatever it is for you, all on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online, real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees win last night. They've won four in a row. They have the best record in baseball. The Mets made a comeback that fell short, but it was certainly thrilling. Pete Alonso struck out against Iglesias on a pretty good changeup with Lindor as the tying run on base. Don, they were down 6-0. By the way, we're right now in the middle of the Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. They're down 6-0, and they made a spirited try. So they're showing some fight against the Braves. And the Braves might be ripe for the picking. I don't know if that will impact the Mets. Maybe it impacts the Phillies. If they lose Spencer Strider, who's supposed to start today, and he can't, and right, he might have to undergo Tommy John surgery, that is a gigantic loss for Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm not impressed by them that much at all. Again, it's very early in the season. But what you're seeing with the Mets here early on, Michael, is that they're starting to get better offensively. They don't have the pitching. They just don't. And Senga
goes on the 60-day IL today.
Yeah, so that means he's pretty much done through May. I guess he's eligible May 27th, and then, you know, how long it'll take for him to get back into the rotation.
It doesn't sound good, Don.
No, it doesn't. You know, but they're starting to hit a little bit. Nimmo with another hit. Alonso was able to get the rally going with a 3-run home run, another hit for Beatty. So I think they'll be okay offensively. They're not going to be a juggernaut, but they're going to be carried by their offense. But they just don't. You know, Hauser's a nice pitcher, Michael, gives you 5 innings, but gives up 5 runs. They just don't have the starting pitching. They're not going to give you a lot of innings, which means they're really going to have to rely on this bullpen, which outside of Diaz isn't really overly special. So for everything to kind of come together, they're going to have to outslug their opponents. And you're going to get nights like you did last night. You know, so it's funny. The first two games are kind of the same, where they were able to complete the comeback the first night, but this time they weren't able to complete the comeback because you keep spotting teams' early leads. You can't rely on coming back like that all the time. You're just not built like that. So I'll take the split if they can get it. But, you know, right now, Michael, the starting pitching is just, it's going to be a roller coaster ride every night, whether they're going to be able to hold on.
And then, you know, yesterday we find out that J.D. Martinez has to get an injection in his back. And listen, I didn't want to be right on this, but I knew I was going to be. Guys could work out all they want on their own. All they want on their own. It's not the same as organized spring training. So J.D. Martinez, I don't know what he was doing. And even Carlos Mendoza said yesterday, well, I mean, nobody's worked harder to come back. He's taken 80 swings. This is from probably sitting on his couch to take 80 swings. Now, he had a back issue last year, ended up having a good season.
Right.
But you're paying this guy for the full 6 months. He will not play in April.
Nope.
And you hope that he's going to be okay in May. Why do people there has to be a cutoff point where we go, I'm not getting involved. I'm not getting involved. Look how Snell pitched in his first game. A three-inning pitcher. Even at his best, he's a five-inning pitcher.
And Michael, he's hurting himself because it's a one-year contract.
Yep.
So what is he going to get if he ends up having half a season? Now, he did get a shot when he was with the Dodgers last year.
And had a good year.
But that was before the season. So,
right.
So they've, like you said, they've lost April. Maybe the shot works. He ends up having a monster, you know, May through. And we'll see if that can happen. But right now, you're a non-entity. You know, so Stewart, you know, plays. But clearly they'd be better with Martinez in there. And when are you going to get him? You know, you're already under 500. You're 4-7, and it doesn't look like you're going to have him anytime soon. What they say, the 3 to 5 days. So, in the shot, you're probably looking at May 1st. And where are you going to be come May 1st?
And that's best case scenario.
Yeah.
And now with the Senga news, that's awful. They're pitcher short anyway.
Yeah.
And he's their Gerrit Cole. Now, he's not on that level, but he's their ace. He was going to start opening day. You've lost your ace. Who are your big-time pitchers on the Mets?
Well, Quintana still, I think, could be a good pitcher. He was signed to be a good pitcher on a team that thought it can contend. So you've got Quintana tonight, Severino to finish out the series tomorrow afternoon. So that's the top of your rotation. So hopefully they can at least earn a split. Then you got Kansas City, and you try to see if you keep your head above water. But that's going to be the problem. We knew it going in. Until Senga came back, did they have enough starting pitching? And they've already lost games because the bullpen is just too light when starting pitchers don't give you enough. And you got nothing back on Monday, and your bullpen was spent from the weekend. It's going to be tough. You can't have pitchers go five innings every single night, Michael, and expect your bullpen to hold up.
And if you think away the way their bullpen is built, okay, they don't have a big starting staff, so you're not going to get length out of them. So you need a good bullpen. Ottavino. I don't know what Adam has left. And then you've got the closer, who's great, but he can't pitch every day. So when Clay Holmes can't pitch, like if he's pitched 2 or 3 days in a row, you can go to Ian Hamilton. You can go to Nick Birdie. There's people that you could turn to that are viable alternatives. The Mets can't go to that guy. There is not that guy. You're going to have Adam Ottavino close the game?
But even the Yankees, Michael, if every single night you were getting 4 or 5 innings from your starting pitchers, it would come to roost at some point.
But you know what? They were doing that for the first 8 games, and the bottom line is they have a deep bullpen. The Mets have a very shallow bullpen and bad starters.
Absolutely. Well, but listen, Tehran couldn't give him much. Was it 2 2/3?
Yep.
You know,
and they stretched Hauser yesterday. You know, they raved about the fact that he went 5 innings. Well, he took one for the team. He gave him 6 runs.
Yeah, it took one for the team, and still you had to go out there and get 12 outs.
Right. Strange. Also, big move in baseball. The number one prospect in the entire sport, Jackson Holliday, called up by the Orioles. Maybe the Orioles see the Yankees off to a great start. They say, let's get this kid up here. And he is a special, special player. Looks like he's going to play second base for the Orioles. He's a shortstop, but they already have a shortstop in Gunnar Henderson. They're so loaded. The Orioles are really the team that you have to worry about in the American League East. And his career is going to start tonight. That's the Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sal in North Carolina. Sal.
Hey, guys. Don, just allow me a minute to rant a little bit. As a Rangers fan, I was upset there was no call on the Trocheck kid. But what makes me more upset is the non-rule the NHL has that a game can end on a defensive penalty or an active power play. So let's say that even the Rangers got a 2-minute or a 5-minute power play last night, they would have only 10 seconds to try and tie the game. I think that's ridiculous. And I think the game is the best it's ever been. But the NHL needs to be more like the NFL and the NBA, that a game can't end on a defensive penalty. Excuse me. I mean, if you were the team on defense, you can basically bear hug offensive players in the final seconds so they can't score and have no fear because time will run out. And even if a penalty was called, there's no time or little time left for the offense to even attempt to score in the power play. I mean, that rule has to change.
Yeah.
I just said I'm a Rangers fan, but like,
no, you're right.
Hey, I'm the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm up 4-3 in game seven. There's 5 seconds left, and all I got to do is bear hug Malkin and Crosby and anybody else on the ice, and time runs out. Hey, even if penalty's called, the game's over.
Yeah, and the reason that they're going to give you is a lame reason, Sal. And that's, well, it's a 60-minute game. What do we do? Is it going to say that there were 62 minutes played? Yeah, that's how you handle it. I mean, it's an easy fix. You're right. And again, we're coming from a Ranger perspective because of what that situation would be. But think about it, Michael. You're down to the last 10 seconds.
Right.
And there's a scoring opportunity. You know, why not bear hug them? Take them down. Even there's a penalty. So what? There's only 10 seconds left in the game. Now, obviously, if you do that on a breakaway, there's going to be a penalty shot, so you wouldn't do that. But if the puck's in the corner and Panarin's trying to come out, you drag him down with 5 seconds left. No harm, no foul. That's 5 seconds. That's barely enough time. They're going to drop the puck, and maybe if you're lucky, you get a shot. It'd be worth dragging him down. Now, would you do that if they called a penalty with 5 seconds left and the full 2 minutes had to be served? Like, that would change things.
But the game would have to be extended, is what you said.
Yeah, you would have to, and that's their rub. It's like, how do you extend the game? Like, in football, a game cannot end on a defensive penalty, but it's understood. All right, there'll be one more untimed play. But you'd be literally making the game longer than 60 minutes that's not tied. So is that enough of a reason not to put that rule in place?
It almost sounds like an unsolvable problem, right?
Well, unless you're willing to say, under those circumstances, we are going to lengthen our game. Now, you can lengthen a game by 5 minutes when it's tied, or more than that if you're in the playoffs. But are you messing with the integrity of the sport, Michael, that now you're actually playing a game longer than it was meant to be played?
It's a tough call. I don't know. I don't even have an answer.
But I'm with the caller but you also don't want to have the game be compromised where it's okay to tackle somebody because there's no punishment for it because you're not going to serve the full 2 minutes. So in the final 5 seconds, an opportunity can be squelched and it not really cost me anything because really, when you're down to that many seconds, Michael, what good would the power play have been last night if there was a penalty with 5 seconds left to go?
Right.
But
right.
In those 5 seconds, that penalty might have stopped an opportunity for the Rangers or the Islanders to win the game. So I see what Sal is saying. It's interesting.
Mets Braves tonight postponed because of rain. It's going to be made up on September 26th.
I hate
baseball.
That's
a positive for the Mets.
Yeah, no, that's good, but... You know, I got nothing tonight. There's no Knicks. There's no hockey. I want to sit
Yankee
down.
Baseball.
I got a nice. That's fine, but that's not my team. God, I hate. This is when I hate baseball.
You hate no dome.
Yeah, and the reason there's no dome is because of baseball short-sightedness. That's a new ballpark, Michael. Doesn't rain in Atlanta?
It rains a lot in Atlanta.
Well, yeah, and it's a new ballpark. How old is that ballpark? 5 years? 6 years old? Not even.
If that, yeah. Let's go to Steve in Pearl River.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, Steve. Steve. Yo, Steve.
Michael and I have a love for Pearl River.
Right. I dated a girl from Pearl River for 5 years.
And I went to a place that had 10 cent drafts when I was going to college.
That's, you know what?
That's magic.
Equal thrills. Let's go to Sean in Somerville. Sean.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you,
Sean? First time caller.
Cool. Oh,
welcome
aboard. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you read about.
Awesome. So I just had to call in. I don't know if maybe I'm overreacting, but I can't understand what the Yankees are doing moving Volpe up to leadoff. The kid's batting arguably top 10 in Major League Baseball. Why mess with him right now? Clearly in a groove.
Well, I see what you're saying, but Boone said something yesterday. He said, you know, when you look 10 years down the line, Anthony Volpe is going to be a leadoff hitter most of his career. Maybe they feel that it's time now because Gleyber has not hit. Gleyber has been a black hole at the top of the lineup. So if you get Volpe on base, followed by Soto and Judge, and then Stanton, who's hot, they're just putting more people on base and getting Volpe more at bats. What about it bothers you? You think it's just upsetting the the good mojo that he has?
No, I just think, I mean, he's finally confident in his swing, it looks like, right? So he finally has guys on base. He's putting the ball in play. You know, at least half the time he's stepping up to the plate. Let him drive in some runs. Why not ride the hot wave and try to fix and not fix the cold wave with Glaber?
It's you know what? I can't sit here and say you're wrong. I mean, there's definitely two sides to this coin here. I think that he will ultimately be a leadoff hitter, and maybe the Yankees feel that he is a completed player right now by the way he's hitting and the way he's playing. Why not move him there now? Yeah. DJ LeMahieu was the guy who was supposed to be the leadoff guy. So Gleyber Torres, it's certainly just been a stopgap situation. So maybe this is just until DJ comes back. Or maybe he performs so well and continues to get on base that they keep him there forever.
Well, if the plan was to have him be a leadoff hitter and you feel like he's ready to do it, then why wait?
Well, I guess what Sean is saying, he's doing so well at six, why mess?
Well, because I think they have to see through the start, Michael.
Right.
Again, I'm not going to take anything away from what the Yankees have accomplished, but you look at the record of the Astros, the Diamondbacks, and the Marlins, they're all losing teams. Now, the Yankees have contributed to that, but maybe you caught Houston at the right time. Maybe the defending National League champions aren't going to be all that good this year. You know, so I think the Yankees look at an 10-2 record, and they should be thrilled with it, but they also shouldn't just think that, okay, we're good. The plan's the plan, and I don't think anybody's going to look at 12 games and have it derail the plan. If he's ready to do it, and they just wanted to see this sample size to see that he was ready to do it, then do it. I don't think they look at their start as mojo. It's all part of the plan.
Right. But I think the plan for him to be a leadoff hitter is in the future. So has he progressed enough at the age of 22? I mean, he's so much of a different hitter than he was last year. Has he progressed enough that, okay, now it's time for him to lead off? Or is this temporary till DJ comes back? I don't know. Now, Anthony is more of a prototypical leadoff hitter, especially if he gets on base a lot, because he can run. He could steal you 40 bases. DJ can't. Gleyber Torres can't. So Volpe is a prototypical leadoff hitter if he gets on base a lot. Last year, his on-base percentage was .295. That's not good enough. But this year he's hitting, you know, high 300s, 400, and his on-base percentage is off the charts. He's having an unbelievable start. Maybe they think it's time, as you said, Don, but I see both sides of the argument.
Yeah.
Well, I told you that my home needed a refresh, so I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters. They're working now, and CertaPro Painters treats my home with as much care as I would. It's as if it's their home. That's how clean and efficient they are. They have protected my floors and the carpeting on my staircase. Everything is clean and handled with care, including the scaffolding that they needed to use to reach everything. The precision and attention to detail as they paint every spindle of the staircase is exceptional. They take pride in what they do, and you could trust them to get the job done right. Now's the time to do the home painting project that you've been putting off. Why wait? From now through April 30th, CertaPro Painters is running its spring sales event. Special offers are available at participating locations. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who actually live in our community. They're a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice really is simple. Choose happy. Choose CertaPro Painters.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
A lot of stuff on the buffet that we could dine on. Let's go to Jeremy in Brooklyn. Jeremy.
Hey, guys. Huge fan. Just one quick point about the NHL and the penalty problem at the end of the games. Wouldn't it be just a quick solution to just make a certain time remaining, just make that a penalty shot?
Well, that seems excessive too, right? Like, all right, I happen to trip a guy in the neutral zone and now he gets a penalty shot. And then if you're going to say, well, really, if it's in the offensive zone, if it's a scoring opportunity, but then it's in the eye of the beholder. I really would not want a game to be determined on a penalty shot for any penalty. And if there's one that's clear that takes away a scoring opportunity, Michael, by all means, do it. But can you imagine 35 seconds to go in the game, Rangers are up 2-1, and somebody gets tripped in the neutral zone? Well, it's a penalty. But you're going to give them a penalty shot? That yeah, but, seems I mean, excessive.
If you want to stop the egregious penalties, then maybe this would clean up the game in the last minute and there wouldn't be any penalties.
True. But at the same time, that
it's
we're gonna
tough, though.
But if we're going to start to judge, I think that one's a penalty shot. I don't think this one is a penalty shot. Then we're going to have the whole, is it pass interference? Is it not pass interference? Let's take it to replay.
Right.
I really do think it's much easier, even though it kind of technically affects the integrity of the game by making it go longer. If you commit a penalty, say, with under 30 seconds to play, the full 2 minutes has
but
to
Don,
be played
out. So I'm thinking, as you're talking, the game could go on for infinity. So the extra 2 minutes, it happens again with 30 seconds left. Well, let's put another 2 minutes. You could be playing forever.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good argument, too. I don't think that would happen, but I guess there is an avenue. Hey, let's try to keep the game going. Yeah, I
because if a guy's going in and, you know, 5 seconds left in the extra 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Then you tackle him, you got to add another 2 minutes.
But there's got to be something that you could, like.
I would say this has always been a problem, right, Don?
Well, it's especially in big games, right? This is what I had suggested in the playoffs. Now, obviously, it wouldn't work in game seven, but let's say in the first 6 possible games of a series, somebody drags you down.
Right.
All right, we don't extend the game, but the first 2 minutes of the next game, the team starts with a power play.
Yeah, but again, if it happens at the most inopportune time in game 7 of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, nothing's perfect, Michael, but I do think extending the game is an option. It doesn't happen that often, but and when it does happen, you feel like, boy, it ended up being worth it because there wasn't really much of a punishment for it because they got away with it.
Let's go to Mel in New Jersey. Mel?
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Mel.
What's up?
Hey, so, Mike, I think that was a great would-you-rather question. A little hot, but, you know, I think it was a great question because I think a lot of men wouldn't do it, you know, because, you know, you think about you wouldn't want it to happen to you. But I think a lot of men would also do it. But then again, if you think about women, you know, I think some women would do it. I think some women wouldn't do it. But I can see a woman being mad either way. You know, I can see her being mad that you didn't do it and get the $250 million. But I can also see her being mad if you did do it.
Well, see, to me, that's why the question was good, Mel, exactly for why you said. Because if I'm looking at my timeline now on X, so many people agree. I mean, my wife would be mad if I didn't do it. She would drive me to the house, stuff like that. And they think that Don and Peter are being disingenuous, which isn't fair either. Maybe that's exactly how they feel. But, you know, some people say, well, just don't have significant others. And would you? Well, the game emanated from when we sit in the office and the stuff that we played, we couldn't even get it on the air.
I can't speak for Peter. I'm telling you. I know Nancy's not listening right now. And it has nothing to do with that. I'm just being honest. And if it's a legitimately good question, the best questions, Michael, are ones that go 50-50. If it's 100%, yeah, you do it, then it's not a good question. That's why I'm surprised you're jumping us, because if we're just automatically going to agree with you and it's easy, then it wouldn't be considered that great of a question. The fact that we thought about it and we disagreed makes it a fabulous question. Now, if you think that we were being motivated by our wives hearing it and we'd get in trouble.
Well, I just, not specifically in that question, but in past questions also, I mean, to be totally honest, I don't like every question being graded as like, oh, there's a terrible question. Oh, you asked this before. It stopped.
Wait a minute.
It died today.
Wait a minute. This is what the show is.
I get it.
We're very critical of each other. And
I mean, the Woodja stuff, it's not that easy to come up with this without and keeping it somewhat clean.
All right, Michael. I'm not usually the one that jumps you at being bad. All right? That's usually Peter. But if we've heard it before, I think it's our obligation to call you on it. You do a wonderful job, Michael. But the fact that we're pushing back a little bit, that's the show.
Well, I get it. Well, there's no more Woodja. No, there's no more pushing back.
Anthony, you may not remember because you weren't the producer for all of these. But I would have a top 5. And then Michael routinely would rip the quality of the top five, the subject of the top five, the actual order of the top five. And then I would throw a tantrum and say I'd never do it again. You guys would rip me for being a baby, and then I would cave and do it again. What's the difference, Michael? What's the difference? Well, we can't get on you?
No, I don't care about
you
the
You used to kill
part.
Me with the top five. No,
that was
show.
Probably the tipping point. The part of, I just don't think that every single Wednesday that you guys are really legitimate with some of your answers. Because I know you off the air, I know you on the air, and I don't think you're being totally honest. I think you're being politically correct. It takes the starch out of the game.
Come on, you know me, Michael. You've heard the things that I've said on the air. You know what I represent as a human being. You know that I'm, if anything, I'm honest.
I just think it's best that it goes to bed. I don't think people like it anymore.
No,
I got
everybody
ripped by Mushnick
it.
Once about it. Oh, I'm done.
That's almost a reason to now do it twice a week.
I don't think there'll be a big outcry if I don't do it, though.
So. Oh, that's already started.
Oh, please. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if I die tomorrow.
Mike, this is...
Really? So if Would You Wednesday goes away, I don't think there's going to be a tear shed, considering there wouldn't be a tear shed if I passed away today. Be honest with each other.
What do we do with that, Don?
But this is what he does. This is who he is.
You're
unbelievable.
Well, this is what I do. I'm being honest.
It went from having a conversation about whether we're going to do Would You Wednesday again to now whether people would care if you died. That's quite the leap, don't you think?
These are the things I do. I don't think that people would care that much. I think there'd be a lot of people that would celebrate.
It's a complete crap.
All right, we got to review the big stories coming up
sure.
at 5 o'clock. It's Kay LaGreca and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
This message is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Are you drained or are you bursting with energy? I know sometimes I'm just not feeling it. Going through a hard time, it's hard to get up and get out there and live a social life, participate in social gatherings. But with the spring coming up, you want to feel good about yourself. You want to feel recharged. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some alone time. Therapy can help you build a social life that does not drain the battery. Certainly, therapy has helped me through the hardest of time and has helped me recharge my battery so I can get out there and be the person I want to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.